When I came to Uni Renaissance 9.5 years ago, things looked a lot different. We had blue plastic chairs. We had all blue carpeting. If any of you missed that or wonder what it looked like, we still have some outside the admin offices. The ceiling looked like a warehouse. The kitchen was really more like a kitchenette. And after the service on Sundays, people would stand out in the narthex, balancing their plates and their coffee cups in their hands because there was no place to sit down. Some of the ceiling tiles in the narthex were stained from our leaky roof. And if we had a hard rain, we would all hurry to bring the buckets and the trash cans to put them under the leaky spots to catch the drips. Does anyone remember that? And still, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So there were differences in outer appearances, of course, but the soul of this place was then what it has always been: warm and welcoming, loving and inclusive. The first time I came through our doors, I couldn't quite put my finger on what I was feeling. Later, I realized it was pure, ubiquitous, unconditional love. And that's what Unity Renaissance is all about. This church, founded by visionary leader Reverend Judith Meyer, was built on love, and it thrives on love. Love is in every brick, tile, wall, and window. It shines through every person who comes here and every principle we teach. Love is the foundation of who we are, and it is the driving force in all that we do. Today, as I look out at this beautiful, gorgeous sanctuary, and on days when I walk down our wonderful new education wing, or come through and stand in our gleaming, spacious kitchen, or just pause in our sunlit Meyer Hall, I say to myself, look what love has done. Love that was activated and focused in the direction of a shared dream. It tells me that this power of love can truly accomplish anything. And even as I wave to our live stream audience, I am so grateful for the love and commitment that expanded our audience truly across the world. As I think of it, Unity Renaissance is an oasis of love. Thanks to all of you beautiful souls and the people who came here before us. And it's not that we're perfect. You know, sometimes people walk in a church, they expect everyone to be perfect and angelic. No, no, that's not us. And that's okay. But we're very earnest about our growth. And we all want to learn how to love better. And in that regard, I think we're doing a pretty good job of following in the footsteps of our way shower. I forgot something I wanted to say, because this is important. When I walk through our new expansion, when I look at this sanctuary and I appreciate what love has done, I know that love was behind our beautiful capital campaigns. I know that love was what motivated you to give so generously. Listen, together we raised nearly $1.5 million. I need to say that to thank all of you and to appreciate what we created together. And now back to Jesus. We're doing a good job of following our way shower because love was the essence of his ministry and his message. Love was the essence of him. In John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in your love, and abide in his love, sorry. Not quite. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, Jesus not only taught love, he was love. He embodied it. That's why people often replace the saying, "What would Jesus do?" with "What would love do?" Jesus showed up as love. Ultimately, that is our calling too, is it not? Not just to be loving, but to be love. To give ourselves over to this higher state of being, and when we do that, our ego self disappears, and we shine like the sun. And we find that as we give love, we are filled with it. Isn't that wonderful how that works? You give and you have more of it. We are the channel continually refilling. This higher love is sometimes called agape love. It's love that is selfless, unconditional, and freely given. Martin Luther King Jr. described agape love as understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. It is a love that seeks nothing in return. It is an overflowing love. It's what theologians would call the love of God working in the lives of men, and I would add, and women. Agape love is the sea that we swim in here at Unity Renaissance. And let me just say that I have felt that more than ever in these past few weeks with all of the amazing gatherings and events and celebrations as I prepare to take my leave. You have absolutely blown me away. And while I know that many, many people have been involved in orchestrating these beautiful occasions, I want to take a moment to recognize the person who spearheaded them all, Reverend Ann DeMichael. And just a shout out to my dear friend, Reverend Patricia Lansky in Charlottesville, who has guided our steps all through this process. Love you, Patricia. So I've really been feeling this agape love, but let me tell you, we experienced a stunning example of agape love 2 weeks ago in this sanctuary when one of our congregants, sitting right over there, Stacy Cooper, experienced a medical emergency in the middle of the service. Who was here that day? So when I think back on that occasion now, I remember it almost in slow motion. It was as if there was just divine grace just permeating everybody and every part of what was going on here. Everyone knew exactly what to do and did it with great calm and care. Someone, I've racked my brains to remember who, called 911. Was that person here? Was it Katie? Whoever it was, called 911. It was you, Kathy. Bless your heart. Kathy called 911. Angela, Stacy's partner, held Stacy's head in her hands and relayed to me the information to tell the 911 operator, Peggy Taylor, squatted down and held Stacy's hand. Thaddeus Smith, our resident physician, came and checked Stacy's vital signs and regularly helped monitor her breathing and coached her through it. Reverend Richards started playing soothing music and offering comforting words. Alice shouted out, "We should pray!" And we did. Amber McCullough texted the folks on Facebook to let them know what was going on. And our wonderful sound AV team managed our live stream audience so beautifully. And all of you, you were magnificent. You remained calm. You held sacred space. And you sent prayerful, healing energy to Stacy. And I have to tell you, to my eye, it had immediate visible results. The color came back into her face. She began breathing normally and she was able to speak again. And then before the paramedics arrived, you cleared the aisle for their entry, and after they left, you seamlessly moved the chairs back so that the service could continue. I have to tell you, it was one of the most amazing episodes of grace and love and caring and our own sacred divinity that I've ever experienced. And thankfully, Stacy is doing all right. She's getting cardiology care. She's with us today. And I want to thank all of you for the part that you played on that memorable morning. Give yourselves a hand. You know, that episode said a lot about us. It said a lot about who we are as a community and how we are connected to one another, because it's like we were this giant sort of spiritual amoeba that was, right? That was moving and changing with the circumstances. You know, if a community can move and change that naturally in an emergency, think of how magnificently we can co-create our dream of a shared future. This is no small thing. Because that love that I've been describing, that we share here, it's not just nurturing and supportive. It's creative. It's powerful. It's transformational. It makes things happen. This kind of unconditional love changes lives. It changes people. And it has changed me. You know, when I came to Uni Renaissance, I was fresh out of seminary. If I walk down here, can I still be visible? Is that a bad idea? I love coming down here. I forgot to tell him I was going to do this. When I came here, I was fresh out of ministerial school. And I had very high hopes, and I certainly had great expectations. But I also had my share of insecurities. I'd never been a minister before. I wasn't really sure how to do it. Most of my learning came on the job. But all of you gave me your guidance and your support to grow into it. I am more grateful for you and your love than I can ever express. I am grateful because you hired me. I am grateful because you believed in me. I am grateful because you trusted me to take risks and to introduce new ideas. I'm grateful because you forgave me for my mistakes. I am grateful for you because of you. And you have helped me be a better me. When I was doing my small group meetings these past 6 weeks, several people mentioned how much they appreciate that I'm willing to be vulnerable up here. Let me tell you, you made that possible. You made that possible through your unconditional love. You created a safe space for me to speak my truth and share my stories and shed my tears. And let me say, this is the only position I have ever held where people liked it when I cried on the job. But if my vulnerability in some way helped you lower your walls and be your authentic self, then I'm glad for that. You also encouraged me to directly address some of the most difficult and divisive issues of our time: racial injustice, white privilege, homophobia, the subjugation of women, gun violence, religious hypocrisy, and even a little bit about the future of democracy. I never in a million years would have thought that I would be talking about things like that on Sunday. You say, it took a lot of courage to do that. I say, you empowered and emboldened me to do that. You made that happen. And I affirm that you will give the same kind of open-minded, accepting love to your next ministers here. I say ministers because you will first have a transitional minister, and then you will have a new senior minister. How lucky they will be to serve you. And so I ask that you give them time, let the relationships develop, continue to stay open. And if I may say, I would suggest that you resist the temptation to compare them to me or to any previous ministers, at least to their face. I know, you're not going to stop that. But if you've ever dated someone who talked incessantly about their ex, or you filled a job and all your colleagues could talk about was how wonderful your predecessor was, you understand why. It's very uncomfortable. When I first got here, some people have been here a long time said to me, oh, Reverend Judy used to run up the aisle to start the service. And I thought, do you want me to run up the aisle? like I really wasn't quite sure why they were telling me that. And I get it. It's joyful to reminisce. I would simply encourage you to reminisce with others who were a part of that. Your new ministers are going to do things differently, guaranteed, because they're different people. They bring in their own skill sets. They bring in their own vision, their own passion, their own ideas. Let them be who they are. Accept them as they are. I know it takes time. No, you can't turn on a dime here. But go into it with that intention, that love-filled intention. They are here to lead you in new and exciting ways. And as I stand here before you, I have never been more sure that you will do amazing things. Amazing, amazing things. So trust that. Expect the best. And trust your board. They know what they're doing. They've chosen a great transitional minister in Reverend Richard Bunch. He's the right man for the job at the right time. I know he is going to love you, and I affirm you will also love him. He's a great, great guy and a super minister. And speaking of our board, I'd like to acknowledge all the wonderful people who have served on the board during my time here. If you've been on our board any time these past 9.5 years, or now, would you please stand? Thank you all for being the wise, inspiring, supportive leaders you are. I'd also like to acknowledge our staff, not only the core staff that meets every Tuesday, but all the volunteer team leaders. You guys are incredible. You know the power of love, and you exude it every day. Would all those who have served on the staff or as a volunteer team lead during my tenure here, please stand. There they are. I'm grateful to my beautiful family who have been such a huge part of this journey. Thank you to my children. Ben is here today with Riley and Vivi. My daughter Emily, 9 months pregnant, is watching in New York City with her husband Rich and daughter Maya. Thank you for cheering me on, for working around my schedule. And thank you for letting me tell stories about you and your families. I'm sure you won't miss that, wondering what I might broadcast to the world on any given Sunday. My deepest gratitude goes to one person in particular. I have to say it from here. I can't come over there. Behind every minister, if they're lucky, is an incredibly supportive partner. I have been blessed with the very best. Richard has believed in me, steadied me, encouraged me, inspired me, listened to me, and always, always loved me. He has helped me stay strong and clear so I could serve all of you to the best of my ability. Thank you for being the enlightened soul and loving husband you are, Richard. You are the wind beneath my wings. You are also an incredibly talented singer, songwriter, music director, and a gifted, inspiring minister. Know that about yourself. You've worked wonders here. And finally, thank you to all of you, my beautiful Unity Renaissance family. Thank you for giving me the experience of a lifetime. I know there is some grief today. I am grieving too, but we'll come through it. Unfortunately, there's no way through it, but through it. Let yourself feel your feelings. And know that there's a brighter day coming and beautiful new beginnings. Today I say to you, because I know we're connected forever now, I say not goodbye, but till we meet again. And I'll close with my favorite Irish blessing as I learned it. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of her hand. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Women, believe it or not, we're going to try to meditate now. So let's just breathe together. Take in a big deep breath. Release and let go. And truly do let go. Knowing you're being so tenderly held in the love of the divine, and that on the deepest level, all is well. Sweet Spirit, we take a moment to appreciate the twists and turns in our own lives, the times we've said hello, the times we've said so long. The way each ending has led to a new beginning. As surely as the leaves fall from the trees and the branches are bare in winter, they spring forth in abundant life in the spring. This is our way as well. And through it all, God abides. Our faith is strong, Our love is sure. We take a moment now to simply turn to our heart space, feel the soothing, supporting love of God there for us in the silence. Give thanks for this beautiful spiritual community, for this opportunity to be together in agape love, to channel the power of our love for our own growth, for that of this beautiful spiritual family. We bless it all. We're grateful for every single bit of it, and we are open to our even higher good. Thank you, sweet spirit, for now, for the past and the future. Thank you for my beloved Unity Renaissance. And so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding love.
Okay. Now is the time in our service for the sharing of our love offering in support of Unity Renaissance.